We thank you for the hope that's rising in this place and women's hearts. We thank you for the new day that's dawning. We thank you for freedom from the lies and the veil of the enemy. Jesus, in this last stretch, have your way here. Touch our hearts. Just go free in us, Lord. We abandon ourselves to you. We want to be healed. We want to walk like you, Jesus. We want to take you wherever we go, back to our families, back to our workplace, back to our home, our schools. We want to be changed by your hand alone. We give you glory and praise, for you are so, so good. It's so sweet, so powerful, so loving. We love you so much. We just want more of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we agree together and we all say, amen, so be it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Let's really bless them. They've been so good. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Tracy with her voice. Weren't we all just aching there, you know? She has walked under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's when that whole passage comes through. His grace is sufficient. We just thank you. Wasn't that an amazing lunch? And the guys serving, wasn't that cool? They did it out of love for you. What a wonderful time. Are you guys ready to hang? Can we hang a little longer? Because I really took us long in that first session. And I told you this session would be light. Are you ready? Can you just say, you know, I can do this. My nap can wait. What's that? Oh, we can turn the air conditioning on. But you know, that's me. I felt like it was on. I could feel the little coolness. Are you guys okay? Because I don't want you to be cold, but I want you to be so warm that you drowse. We talked about our platform, our launching pad of his forgiveness. And we talked about he removed our veil. But what I want to take you to is two places, two teaching in one. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You thought you were going to get off easy. I'm going to try to just really be succinct, which is not my gift. You can obviously tell. But I want to talk about when there's lies so deeply embedded in our soul that just simply resisting isn't enough. Know what I'm talking about? That's the area of addictions and behaviors that we don't want that have a strong hold on us. And the Bible does call them strongholds. Why? Because they have a strong hold on us. Let me read you something from Refresh. Maybe this is just me. This won't ring any bells for you. Little scenario. Let's say you are experiencing a rather blue day. Anybody ever have a blue day? It is due to your best friend having lunch with another person whom you don't really care for. This has triggered feelings, emotions. Remember, our soul is our heart and our mind. Our emotions, our heart. Of sadness due to this has triggered feelings of sadness due to insecurities arising from events that took place in your family years ago, though you may not realize that's the root of your problem. Your mind is soon filled with negative thoughts about yourself that devalue your worth, all just because your friend went to lunch with somebody else. I'm seeing a lot of big smiles and stuff. From these spiraling downward feelings of sadness, your thoughts turn to despair of being abandoned, and old fears of being alone soon follow. To comfort yourself, you indulge in behaviors that bring you solace for only a moment, overeating, inappropriate images on your tablet or phone, simply going back to bed and pulling the covers over your head. What is it you go to for comfort? A few hours later, you feel tremendous guilt for what you have done and ask the Lord's forgiveness for the 1,100th time. Do you know what I'm talking about? all because your friend went to lunch with somebody else. The guilt lasts for 3 days, rendering you virtually powerless to be the person God has called you to be and experience all that he has for you. How many times have we lived whatever your scenario is, so many times. It can be a little thing, it can be a big thing, but it takes us out for a season. And that's when we know, when we have done what we've been sharing and teaching, how you know that it is a stronghold. Now, I've told so many of you ladies, I prayed with a bunch of you at lunchtime. You are gonna be tested when you walk out of here. If you're not prepared for that testing, you will think nothing happened. But you're resisting, and the more you resist, it flees, and that is your starting ground. But there are some things that are rooted in lies deep within our soul. The enemy does not play fair. Again, forgive me, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. It would just take too long. But John 10:10. I don't know if Jeremy could put it up. I didn't ask him to. But most of us know this. We know the part where Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the beginning of this verse is this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We do have an adversary. And how does he attack us? How do these strongholds happen in our lives? We talked about we are body, soul, and spirit. Jeremy, do you mind that first slide? We talked our spirit cannot be touched by the enemy. If you have received Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You've been born again of the Spirit. Do you know that actual Greek word, spirit, and even in the Hebrew, it's ruach, something like that. I like to sound like I know what I'm talking about. But in Greek, in the New Testament, Old Testament is Hebrew, the New Testament's Greek, it's pneuma, and it's actually pronounced a little bit differently. Both words mean, the meaning of spirit, the definition is breath, life, to breathe, a wind. That who is who the Holy Spirit is. He is fully God. He's co-equal, co-divine, co-eternal, co-existent with the Father and the Son. He is God himself, but it's the person of the Godhead that lives inside of us to make Jesus real. That Jesus tells us all about his work in our life in John 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John. And his breath, the Spirit, his breath quickened our dead spirit and brought it to life. The enemy cannot touch it, but this is what is helpful, and it helped me so much. My soul and my body are still walking through this planet, and the enemy can still tempt me. If he can get to my thoughts, he's getting to my soul. And I told you, I gave you that verse out of Paul's word in Ephesians. Don't neither give place to the devil. And we talked about what giving a place is. It's when you started to give dally with something. It's when some of us, we don't feel good about ourselves. Oh, why did I do that? Why this? Why that? We started down a road that maybe happened when we were 7 years old. And we didn't know better, and we gave a place to it. And because we have thought it so long, it's so ingrained in us, it not only has made a groove in our very brain, that's what science tells us, but it has set up shop in our soul. We are not possessed by the devil, but we are oppressed. That doesn't mean all of you is a big hot mess, but it means maybe a portion of you is. And you wonder why you have victory in some areas of your life and not others. Because the enemy is given a place. He is a liar. John 8 says this explicitly. Again, you're gonna have to look up these scriptures for yourself. Jesus talks about it. He said, he was talking to the religious elite that were opposing him. He said, you're of your father, the devil, who's a liar, and he's the father of lies. Then a few verses down, but those who abide in my truth, the word abiding in them, the truth will set you free. And who is the truth? It's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is that simple. The devil's a liar, and Jesus is the truth. It is the age-old story of mankind. good versus evil, lie versus truth. And when you start to see that, you will be amazed. Starting from Genesis 1:1, it all starts with a lie of the enemy. Did God tell you that? Is God's lying to you? Is basically what he's saying. All happened because of a lie. But some of these lies we've have grasped hold on. And they're so embedded in us, we don't even recognize them. We just think it's the way it is and who we are. And that is not the truth. Now, our adversary, I'm going to try to stick close to my notes here because I really want to give you the whole enchilada. And it kills me not to give the verses. But Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to set the captive free, and to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus repeats that. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Luke 4, walked in the temple. He read out of Isaiah 61. You can read there, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is the work of Jesus in your life. This is a verse you want to just have in your soul. He has anointed me to preach. I can read it from here. Good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And that's literal, but it's, you know, in the sense of prisoners out of the captivity of darkness, but it's the captivity we have led ourselves into. And Marjorie's word to us earlier out of Zechariah is, I've called you, you are no longer a slave to your old past, you're a prisoner of hope. I can't think of anything more fun. That sounds like a ride at Disneyland to me. Let's go on the prisoner of hope ride. And let's take that hope and get some more prisoners of hope. That's a good thing. But how does the enemy set up shop? He does not play fair. He hits us when we're most vulnerable. And when are you most vulnerable? It is almost always in your early childhood. Early childhood. I want to tell you, I grew up in a home where I was greatly loved. My parents had been married 10 years, tried to have a child. And so when I came along, my mom had several miscarriages. I was loved. I was absolutely loved. But let me tell you, the enemy doesn't play fair. And my mom had some issues, and my dad had some issues, and they weren't big ones. I was nurtured in many ways by my mom, not so much by my dad. I had the best of everything. To this day, I still think I had the best childhood, but I can look back now and see where the enemy gained a foothold in me. So it doesn't matter if you've had a horrendous childhood or you've had a really great one. When things happen to you, whether they were huge or whether it was just simply an offhand remark, oh, getting a little chubby there, that can send somebody on a spiral the rest of their life. I used to think anorexia and bulimia were a young women's disease. You know, one of my dear, I call her, she's a daughter in the faith. She calls me Mama Sue in my workplace nutritionist. I've just seen her be a captive. She had to I'm not even going to go there. She just got messed up, but Jesus has gloriously set her free. And she's a nutritionist, and she deals with women in their 50s and their 60s, still just consumed by how they look because of a lie that probably somebody told them way back, or they perceived. You know, my daughter would mention, or it's happened a couple times, she's the only one of my three kids, where we had talked about it, something that happened to the family, and I'm not trying to cover myself, but it wasn't a bad thing, but her perception was horrible. The enemy, from what happened to the filter of her heart and mind, the enemy just twisted it. And we've all said, I mean, she knows it now, this has been several years now, but she, that's not what happened, Day Spring. And she knows now it didn't, because I have, you know, other people, her brother and sister, it actually came up with her brother and sister first. Am I making sense? But what we perceive as reality is our reality. And we live where? In a broken, fallen world. It's when we start taking the kingdom wherever we go that things starts changing. The best thing you moms can do for your kids is get healed and fall in love with Jesus and just live for him and don't worry about them. If I had it to do over as a young mom, I wouldn't press so much Bible stories in Jesus. I would have just lived it. I would have laughed more. I would have hugged more. I would have kissed more. I would have that wisdom to wait on him, to know how to handle this, because each child's different. But you know what? The generation that most of us grew up in, we didn't have that. Even though we came from good Christian homes. Can I just say something really horrible? Some of the good Christian homes are some of the worst places to grow up because of the level of expectation. You know what I'm saying? I did that to my kids. I did that to my girls. Not so much my son, but my girls. And we have worked through it. I have such a good relationship. All three, like I said, by the grace of God, are serving him and loving him. That is no effect to me. And I'm just saying, my best friend in those early years, I thought this was the perfect Christian mom. You know, I'm just saying, it's not the doing. None of her kids at the moment, adult kids, are walking with the Lord. I think it was when I started to just get real. I hope that's okay to say. I don't want you to, but I want you to think, I feel like I'm supposed to say this, think about how you're parenting. Your kids will, joy is contagious, but rules aren't. So be careful how you do it. But if they will want Jesus, if you live full throttle for Jesus and in love with him, and let the joy just overwhelm your life, that's the best thing you can do for your kids. But the enemy doesn't play fair. He is not the enemy, is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient, all-knowing. He is a finite being. He is not God in any way. He has some might. Yes, don't we grant him some might. But you know what? Our God is almighty. But we get looking down instead of looking up. We look at our circumstances. He's got us right where he wants us. But we threw the veil off today, and we're turning our gaze to the one and only. And a lot of those circumstances will take care of themselves because the Holy Spirit has the freedom now, because we're not trying to help him out. Amen? He is not all those things, all the omnis. But the Bible tells us, and I don't want you to get scared. This is not a scary thing, but it's knowledge. It's knowing the New Testament. He does have these little minions, these fallen angels called demonic beings. And they're the ones that can take and you know what? I want to really say this carefully. However you've been raised or you're understanding the Bible, if it conflicts with what I'm saying, that's totally fine. Just take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. Does that make sense? If you don't agree fully, that is just fine, because we all agree on one thing: Jesus is Lord, and he's our helper. He's our advocate. But how the enemy gets in stronghold is we have given place so long that the enemy literally, what Paul says there, is he takes ground like a beachhead, like an enemy would go into territory. It's like ISIS had Ramadi, is that what it was called, that town in Iraq? And they set a beachhead there. Well, now the Iraqis, I hope I'm saying that, maybe it's Afghanistan, have taken it back. Get what I'm saying? And how does that happen? Like I said, when we're vulnerable. Hurt people hurt people. But how does the enemy hurt us? He lies to us. You'll see this over and over again in scriptures. Now, when you went through something in your childhood, let's say somebody said you're chubby. Some of you have gone through a lot worse stuff, right? When he comes with that lie, he doesn't come knocking on the door with a little pitchfork and little horns. It just comes as a subtle thought. And the thing about lies is that they always seem to align with what's going on in the moment. That's why they're so easy to believe. Well, somebody said that about me, and I look at myself and I feel the same way. It must be the truth. The truth is, God made me special just for his own, and I'm his princess, and I'm his daughter, and I'm beautiful in his sight no matter what my scale says. I'm using that as a for instance. I was sexually violated as a young child. Not me, but I'm just saying this as a for instance. I'm sexually violated. I'm no good. I'm worthless. I'm cheap. It's so interesting to me that so many times when we're sexually violated, this isn't in every case, but it can be, where we do act out in that. because we're looking for genuine affection because we were so messed up. But what's that lie there? I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I'm trash. I'm no good. I'll never measure up. I'll never measure up. These are the lies. They're so much easier to believe than the truth of, no, that's not the truth. The truth is, I am loved, and my God is going to walk me through this fire. Because you know what? To believe truth requires faith. And faith flies in the face of all that we are, because we see. We are finite beings. It is so much easier when we can touch, taste, and hold it in our hands to fondle it, as it were, please forgive me. But to grab, that's got to be the truth. No, faith requires a step of into the unknown, that my God is greater than this lie or this thing that happened to me. Am I making sense? And I want to tell you, it has been my experience and what I believe the Word of God teaches, that the bondage of, that the stronghold of every addiction or every behavior that you hate about yourself and all your loved ones, the things that you're struggling with, a lot of you are praying for other people. But the root of it is based in a lie. And until that lie is broken, it is going to be very difficult to find freedom. But that's what Jesus is doing. And it is a phenomenal work of the Holy Spirit all around the world, because people are teaching this all over the place. The Lord is raising up his people to be holy and whole and free from all these wounds. This isn't just a little Sue Bolt teaching. This is Joyce Meyer. This is Beth Moore. This is all these, you know, I'm a little nobody. Nobody knows me. Neil Anderson. The bondage breaker, that's all those, you know, that you were talking about earlier. This is what he is doing. But how do we get to the root of the lies? How does we get root of the lies? I'm going to see where I am in this. Okay, I've covered most of that. I've gone faster than I can think. I'm like three pages ahead of myself. Are you gonna? I just have to ask one more time. It's so important for me to understand. Even as I talk right now, can you think of something from your early childhood that colors the way you think even to this day? And again, like Tracy was saying, science has caught up to this. That's what even a non-Christian counselor will do, is take you back to the past. What you're struggling with now is the tip of the iceberg, the roots down below. The trouble is, we want the iceberg to be healed. We just want the tip off. We just want to put a Band-Aid on it, right? We just want it to be over. But your God loves you so much. I had one young lady say to me, I don't understand why it's taken, two actually, why it's taken so long. I have to trust God with that. Why did it take me so long? Part of it is I did fight him. I was fearful to give up fantasy. What was going to replace it? If I gave up bulimia, would I be this gigantic person that nobody thought lovely? But it wasn't the appearance. It was that root. Am I lovely? But the lies, we want to uncover them so we get down to the bottom. The problem is that we settle so far down. I have a lie of being rejected. Well, why? What would be the wrong thing if you were rejected? It almost always is based in some type of fear. What happened if everybody rejected you? How we get to the lies is asking ourselves the why questions. You can go to the Lord in the privacy of your own home without interruption. You're going to need to be cell phone off, little kids at a babysitter. Say, Lord, I want to get to the root of these things. Let him do it one at a time. And I believe even as we sit here, stuff is coming to your mind. Can I just maybe see a little shake of head if that's true for you? You want to ask yourself, let yourself go back in this memory. This is not hoodoo, woodoo. I don't try to be doo-doo-doo, not like that. But what happened? Jesus will walk back there with you. You don't have to go back alone. What really took place? And ask yourself the why. What, why and what? What did I feel? This is how you start tongue clutch. What did I, was, were you fearful? Were you angry? How did you react when that happened? Why did I react that way? I was counseling a woman, and she said the memory that she just kept, when we were talking and asked the Lord to show us some things, she came, had a memory of her dad not showing up for a dance recital. I said, how did you react to that? She goes, I got very, very angry. Well, that's not me, Sue. I would have just probably cried and sulked. We all react differently. Well, why were you angry? And that's where she got stuck. I don't know why. That I didn't matter. You know, I mean, we just waited. Holy Spirit, show me. Why was I angry or why was I fearful? When your husband got caught in another woman's arms, of course, that's ridiculously horrible and heartbreaking. But go back. Don't just settle for that. What did I feel? What was the emotion I felt when I found that out? Was it anger? Was it fear? Was it jealousy or hatred? It'll key into what's the lie, and you wonder why you can't be free is because you're just dealing with the top areas. I was rejected. He wanted somebody else other than me. No, it's more than that, and it's linked way back into your youth of your worth and who you are and how you perceive yourself. Lord, take me back. Why did I feel that way? Why did I react that way? And you know what? Our God is gentle. He will not, he is, he's not, he won't, this is gross, but it says, he will not rip the scab off of you. He is the most gentle healer there is. You do not have to fear going back to these places with him. And for some of you like me who did not have horrendous stuff in your life, ask him to show you. Lord, what started this? I can remember a little incident on the playground that had nothing to do with me, but you know what colored how I viewed my appearance for years? A little incident on the playground. Why did I feel that way? I always think of that. Oh, never mind. I love the little bells. I love bells. And when you think you've hit bottom, ask the Holy Spirit, show me again. I was afraid of being rejected. No, it was the fear of being alone. The enemy comes with two types of lies. I used to think it was either or and sometimes two, together occasionally. I've come to believe it's two lies together at every time, because when you believe a lie about yourself, you believe a lie about God. A few of you have come to me and said, I know the truth, I just have a hard time believing it. And that's the other question you have to ask. The Lord almost always seems to take you to the lie you believe about yourself, but then on the flip side, he'll come and say, no, let's talk about what you really believe about me. Especially if you were greatly violated in your youth. Where were you, God? Where were you, God? You're going to have a hard time having trust issues and really trusting Jesus or even believing his word. If you struggle with that, get to the lie. As you're going through stuff and people's names and faces come to mind, immediately some of you know already who you struggle with and you've forgiven them greatly, but maybe they're coming to their name is coming to their your mind again right now, or their face. You know how you heal that? You forgive them. To break a lie, it always requires forgiveness towards that person. And you know what, though? The thing is, you realize they believe lies too and they could not help themselves. That's usually the case. As your lies get broken, you have a tremendous amounts of grace and mercy that will flow in your life to others. And you know what the thing is? You make Jesus first. You let him heal those lies, speak truth into you. People can't hurt you like they once did because you've got him. You know where they're coming from. They're coming from a broken place like you used to be in. Totally changed the way I pastor people. I used to think people owed me. You know, I served them like crazy in the church. They owed me back. You know what? I have just so enjoyed this church for the last 10 years because it's just been a free love. And you know, people are just stupid sometimes, you know. But you know what? I just love them. You know, that's a God thing. That's not a Sue thing. That is a God thing of being healed. They just can't, people just can't hurt you when the enemy is routed and the Lord's truth starts speaking to you. I'm going to take you to a place. Please remind me, Tracy, if I skip over this. Well, let's do it right now so I don't forget. Let's do a forgiveness thing right now. Just you and Jesus, just name the people you need to forgive. Just you and him in your heart. Lord, take another layer off on this forgiveness thing. Some of you are absolutely receiving full-on forgiveness towards this person. Some of you, this is just another layer coming off. But it's a step forward. Seal this, Lord, in Jesus' name. The lies exposed. Only you can do this with him. We do a thing, we just did it for the first time in our church called Steps to Freedom. And I just kind of, we taught on Friday night and Saturday morning. I just kind of asked questions and it was just the women alone with God. We had such a tremendous thing that took place. People said, I took a 180, I am a new person. You can do this in your own bedroom. Holy Spirit in you and the Word of God. Then you ask him, okay, Lord, I see this lie. What did we do earlier this morning? We broke the agreement with it. I'm not agreeing with this lie anymore. That's how you, simple. I can't say anything more, but that's the crux of this message. He wants to reveal the lie to you. Once you comes to the surface, I don't want it anymore. In Jesus' name, go. That's as simple as it is. You don't have to be super spiritual or know the word a whole lot. That's all you need to know. I don't want it anymore. You know what? The enemy's on assignment and he's out of there. Now the Holy Spirit will come and that vacant place that he left in your heart and your mind, the enemy, when he left, he'll start to nurture it back up. And remember I told you that scripture last night, so key out of Exodus, where he told them, with the Israelites, when they're getting their promised land, I'm only giving you a little bit of ground at a time. You establish your presence there. You get it good and firmed up, and then I'll take you on to the next territory. That's how the Lord leads you. This is a process. And you know what? I truly believe the Lord causes it not always to be an overnighter thing because he wants a love relationship with us. It's a walk with him. But you simply ask, Lord, show me the lies. And then, Lord, what the lie is about me, what is the lie I have believed about you? And you know, that one almost always comes immediately. And this is the time when we literally have to say, are you guys, I feel like right now some people are really experiencing, I know what I've believed about God. I love him to pieces. I've given my life to him. I have served him. That was me. I served full out for Jesus. But I didn't think he really loved me. And you know what I had to do? I had to repent. And repentance is key in this. Because even if it started when you were a vulnerable little child, you have nursed that and partnered that as an adult. You can't blame nobody else but you. This is you and him. Say, Lord, I am sorry. I believed this lie about you, this untruth, and I repent. Please forgive me. And you know what? Time after time, he comes and he just scoops you up in his arms. Say, it's okay. It's okay. I understood. I knew. But you won't get free until you own it. You can't blame your mom, your dad, your husband, your brother. You got to own that one for you. I didn't believe you, God. I repent. Oh, the release is literally immediate. And then the good part. This is the part you cannot forget. You've exposed lies. Even now, lies are being exposed throughout this room. I believe it. I'm seeing some tears. That's good. You just let it go. Then the good part, Jesus, please speak your truth to me. The lie has to be replaced by the truth of God's word. And who is God's word? Jesus, the living word. And he doesn't give you a pat answer. Oh, that's what he says to all the Christians. No, he's got a word directly towards you. Sometimes it might come as a picture. You might all of a sudden just have a picture in your mind. Can I just walk you through? This was kind of a little thing. I mean, to me, I've certainly had bigger lies, but this is the one that comes to me to share. I was at work, this is about 6 years ago, because it's been a while now. And something happened at work, and I wish I can't even remember what it was. But I came home, I said, Lord, that old feeling came up again, a feeling passed over. You know what, I'd walked enough in this to say, you know what, I'm not gonna give place to this. I want this out of here now. And I said, Lord, just show me. Take me back to where this started because I have no clue. And you know what? It wasn't a single memory. It was kind of the overarching of my childhood. I have a dad that loves me to pieces. He's 97 years old. He got saved at 86. All that to say, don't give up. Do you know when I got free? This is a freebie. When I got free 12 years ago, when I started to really choose to live in the presence that the Bible talks about of the Holy Spirit and take it into my everyday life, my daughter, who was on the fence at that time with faith, came full throttle to Jesus. My dad got saved at 86, all in a 6-month period. This is why I'm telling you guys, don't worry about everybody else. You get yourself and your walk with Jesus in line. You get healed. You get free of lies. You let him speak truth into you, and that he'll take care of the rest of your loved ones. I was working for a fire department in Santa Clara County, and the assistant that they gave me, this is all in a 6-month period, she was hostile to Christianity. She came to Christ. I didn't have to open my mouth. It was just the contagion of health just flows. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Book of Acts living. But what does he speak truth into me? And I said, Lord, why do I feel passed over? What is this old thing? Let's get. And it was just the overarching thing that my dad was there and I knew he loved me. But it just came to me. He never was one. And even today, it's a struggle for him. How are you doing, honey? He wasn't a dad like my husband is. What's going on in your life? You know, who's your best friend at school today? Did you have fun at school today?
Yes.
She'd had fun at school. I never got asked those intimate, endearing questions of a father. I felt passed over. And I knew that was the lie. I'm not passed over. I'm loved. And I'd been walking in some healing for a while. I said, but Lord, show me the truth. And I just got this immediate picture. My dad still lives. I grew up at the beach, and he lives on a steep hill with a retaining wall that goes like this as you drive up the hill. And I saw Jesus and me sitting on that retaining wall. Jesus sitting real close, and he was doing all those things that I had not experienced as a young girl. Wow, so now tell me, my best friend was Sue. What did you and Sue talk about today? How did your math test go? Now, you know, I know you skinned and filled your knees. Is it feeling better now? You know, just those sweet little things. And the Lord turned to me and he said, Sue, honey, I know, let's do something fun. Let's name ladybugs. Oh, here's one. Oh, this is Henry, even though he's a ladybug. Oh, this one's Clementine. You know, the tears of just freedom flowed down my face because Jesus was speaking truth. He wanted me to know he knows the intimate details of my heart. Because if there's one thing about women, we want to be known. And sometimes our own husbands can't even give us that. But our God knows us, and it's enough. I think you get what I'm saying. Don't go for the easy lie. Oh, I was rejected. I was molested. I was this. No, Lord, what? Only he can do it. And this makes so, you'll see it from the scriptures. Again, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation. Search me and know me, oh God. Corinthians, the Spirit of God goes deep into the deep places of man to flush up stuff. So many of those psalms that we read, know my heart. See, is there any wicked way in me? Is there any lie in me? These passages will have such greater meaning to you. And don't be afraid of the enemy. This is what I get everyone. So, well, what if it's the enemy speaking to me? No, you've asked Jesus to come. Jesus can handle the enemy, okay? The Holy Spirit will walk you through this, and he's gentle as a dove. Could we stop for a minute? And just you and him, I'm going to give you a couple minutes. That's a long time. Whatever's come to your mind while I've been speaking, would you just kind of get that ball rolling with Jesus? You'll have to finish this at home or when we break, and you can just come up and spend some time here or grab somebody to pray with. But sometimes we just need to be alone. Some of you saw the lies for the first time, or maybe you thought, maybe you've had an awareness of them, but now you can put a name to it. Would you do like we did earlier? Would you put those lies in your hands in front of you? Let's do something physical, because sometimes that really helps us. Just put them in there. Name them. Name them. Give them clear names. Yeah. And in Jesus' name, I break the agreement with these lies. Are you in agreement with that? Yes. I will not partner with them anymore. And I won't receive them anymore in Jesus' name. And I have a sense, again, I hope this isn't manipulative anyway, but I sense the Lord standing in front of each one of you and saying, give them now to me. And just literally let your hands go out forward and just drop them in his hand and let them go. That's right. Somebody just threw them down on the ground. I saw that. That was really good. And you demonic spirits that have had the root of these lies in these women's lives, I speak shame, I speak pride, I speak lack of worth, I speak great amount of fear, I speak come against abandonment. Don't worry if I don't name your thing. All of you are lumped together in Jesus' name. We agree together, we break every agreement. We will not walk in these ways anymore, and you have no power or authority over us anymore because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, Lord, another prayer time. I almost moved too fast. What's the lie you've been believing about God? If that's someone here, if that speaks to you. Would you talk to him about that? And if that's just not registering with you, then don't worry about it. But if you know what? I know this in my head, but it is nowhere near my heart, how much he loves me. Whatever it is, can you just really say, Lord, I am sorry that I believed a lie rather than your truth. And Jesus, right now, I just receive your absolute forgiveness. And I break the agreement I've had with these lies about you. Unbelief, lack of trust, your love, your power, your might, that you care. In Jesus' name. It's not your portion anymore. And now, Lord Jesus, we're still in an attitude of prayer. Come speak truth. Come speak truth. And how does the Lord speak? We learned that early. He speaks goodness, kindness, love, nobility. He cherishes, accepts, and loves you. Some of you are getting absolute words. Some of you are getting scriptures. Some are getting little pictures in your mind. That is the truth about you. Too good to be true, but it is the truth. I'm just feeling prompted. It's not the way I usually do things. Would you put your hands out in front of you again and say, Lord, put that truth there, and would you hold it tight into your heart? Would you just bring it into the embrace of your heart? I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm seeing one of our pregnant ladies. All the pregnant ladies, would you lay hand on your baby just right now and receive God's love for your child right now? Some of you, when you go home today, go home and lay hands on photographs of your kids if they're not at home anymore. Just speak the love of Jesus over them and breaking the lies they believe. Your husband, when he's not around, you go put your hand on his pillow. Start praying over his pillow. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever you feel led. This is a journey. This isn't the end all. What the Lord brought me here to do today is just, some of you, I'm just one little step along your story. I mean, that's basically what I am. But all of us are moving forward today. And you have what you need now to walk life. I'm not going to believe lies anymore. I'm going to believe the truth of God's word. Am I the only one? But I just sense the presence of the Lord very sweetly. And now I'm going to close with this. Is this okay? Or can you hang for 20 more minutes? I shouldn't have said that. You're already like, oh my gosh. It may not even go that long. How do we maintain freedom when the lies start breaking and the truth starts becoming our real reality? Because we got to know that. Because you know what? We're taking this precious soul that's getting restored, and we're going out into that world again the minute we leave these doors. The Bible's very clear about it, and Tracy already mentioned that, and this is what I want to close with. We got to be careful. We talked about our thought lives. We got to be careful with what we put before our eyes. Enough said. I think we know. We got some of the stuff that we love to watch or read has probably not been the best thing for us. I used to love to read, this is my issue, People magazine, but you know what? It fed something in me that was very unhealthy. Just saying. I'm just giving you a for instance. I'm not saying that. Some of you can read it and it just goes right over your head. You know what I mean? It's just... Be careful what you put before your eyes. King David said that. I will walk carefully. And the one time he didn't, wasn't that his downfall? Don't go back to the places that cause you distress. You would always tell an alcoholic in the walking out of things, don't go back to the bar. You might have to put the tether of some relationship, some distance between you till you get really solidly established. It might be even be a parent. You've got to make some healthy boundaries. That book, Boundaries, is a great book to read for this. Until you become strong enough that you can be with that person and they can't hurt you and you can simply love them even if they're spewing stuff all over you. But it is possible in Jesus' name to walk in just full throttle love. Know the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you know the power of the Holy Spirit? You simply ask him. You live inside of me. I want to know you more. Teach me. You're getting really good teaching in this church body about the Holy Spirit. And whatever church body you came from, they believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian. Just read the God, what Jesus has to say about 14, 15, and 16 in John, in the Gospel of John, and then read the book of Acts. You'll see, learn about the power of the Holy Spirit. And just say, you know what? I want that. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. You don't work for it. We know we can't do it. It's all him. The power of God's word, and that's what Tracy was telling us. She preached it. You can't know a lie from the truth if you don't know this book. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And I'm in total agreement with Tracy. I always tell people, don't start with the Old Testament. Start with the Gospels. If you were going to a Billy Graham crusade and you came forward, he would have you start in the Gospel of John. As a side note, John is one of the biggest lie breakers in the whole world. He's the one that really talked about lies. You know what? Jesus even called him in endearment a son of thunder. But how does John see himself later in life? John the Beloved. That was not a derogatory word from Jesus' mouth. That was a total term of endearment. But he knew he was so transformed, he knew he was the Beloved. That's how he refers to himself. You've got to just know the power of God's word, and not for head knowledge. What is it speaking to my heart? I don't know if you guys are familiar with, he's an older pastor now, Jack Hayford. His mother was in our Bible study my husband led when we were young pups in our early 20s. And she simply said, just read till your heart gets warm. So something touches you and then you stay there. When you come on Sunday, literally it's like being spoon-fed. You can't live on spoon-fed food. It is good and it's powerful and it's right. But you got to have the meat and potatoes of the word for your own body. You'll be as strong as you know this. I got the point. And then finally, what for me was, because I was strong in the word, but I was still bombarded with stuff, is walking in intimacy with him. How do you do that? You simply come to Jesus, say, I want to know you, and I want to know your presence in my life. I spend time with the Lord every day. I have that luxury. I don't have small children, but even when I did, I knew enough, even in my darkness, and it was so dark, that I had to be with him. It's just that so much other stuff had clouded over that I was believing so many lies, but you know, just that one little fingernail, like I talked about, just kept me. It kept me. But what I'm asking of you now is what I would come to the Lord and I would pray and I would read for knowledge, not heartfelt stuff, but I would come with my laundry list of prayers. I need this, this, and this, and my kids need this, this, and this, and my church needs this, this, and this. I'm talking about, not talking about that, let's put it that way. I'm talking about Jesus, I want to know you. I'm not getting up from my knees until I sense your spirit here. And the Spirit would always drive me back to the Word of God, and it would be what I needed in that hour. And about 12 years ago, I mean, I was coming out of stuff, but three things happened, and I really feel like it was the Lord said, enough, this is your time, Sue. I came from, we made a mission trip to Taiwan, we had a women's event, and I was studying the book of Ephesians, and it all came together. I don't say I have this perfectly, but I realized what I read in the book of Acts was for me today. And I made a simple pledge to the Lord that I have faltered and failed many times, but it changed me. And that is, I am not going to live another day without your presence. Whatever it takes. And you know what? That's when the last final thing of my thought life broke. I wasn't trying to fix my thought life. I was so centered on him, it just simply fell off, much like the bulimic thing. If you make spending time alone with him at least once a week, at the most once every 2 weeks, just start small, 15 minutes. I want to know your presence. In this room right now, do you sense his presence? Some of you are having a fireball going off in you. Some of you are feeling great peace. It's all him. But what I want you to do is say, I'm not walking out this door and I'm not going to lose it this time. Because doesn't that happen? You're going to, 2 weeks from now, the old you would go out of here and that thing would have drifted. You'll be on a high for about a week and a half and then it seems to go out the door. Can we make a determination? I am not going to let go of this. And how you do that is just find that little place in your bedroom, your closet, the war room. My youth pastor's wife, she goes to Starbucks. That drives me crazy. But you know that generation, they love all that noise and stuff. God has encountered, the girls can testify, she has had a physical transformation. Her healing and deliverance has been so dramatic. Wherever it is you go to have a date with Jesus, you do it and you keep it. And you won't have to worry about a hunger for the word because the Holy Spirit will ignite it. And when you're in those times, like what did I say in the Gospels, wherever Jesus is, he heals. Lies will just start coming up. Okay, I see it now. You weren't even searching or trying for it. It's broken. Final thing I have to say. Think of it as like what you're sensing now, this is the Holy Spirit, as a fragile little plant that you have just sown into the ground and it's just popping up through the dirt. And you are going to guard that little plant because it's so fragile. You're going to protect it from the elements that would want to take it out or root it out, right? You're going to put a hedge about it by prayer and time alone, whether it's in the potty room or wherever, you're going to find that place. You're going to guard it with the word of God. You're going to surround it with yourself with healthy people. You're going to start applying the word of God. And it's going to take root and it's going to start to grow. And when it starts to grow, then you can start helping others. But don't worry about it in the meantime. You just take care of that sense of his presence. Am I making sense? It is very fragile. Your God is not fragile. The fragility is on our end. He has all the forces of heaven just covering over you. But we're the ones that are so fragile in this moment. But don't lose what he's given you today. You do not have to. And life will gently and sweetly and powerfully be turned upside down. I can guarantee that. I've seen it too many times now. I've experienced it. And ladies, that's all I really have to share. You want to find the worship team? Yeah. This is your time. However you want to end this, I'd like to maybe do one final closing prayer. Would you not possibly, some of you do have to get out of here and get back to kids and stuff, totally. But if you have a few moments to linger in your chair, would you do that? Some of us need to grab somebody's hand and say, would you pray with me about this? And if you're still at a place you can't share it, that's fine. We all understand. But if you can't get it out there, I don't want to do this anymore. Would you pray with me? So one final prayer. You guys have been awesome. I can't believe you sat through this. Journal what you've heard and write it down. I would love it. Okay, this is a little plug. I would love it. I write a morning prayer every morning on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, it's Sue Bolt Crosspoint. I do quotes and devotions almost every day. And then I have a blog as well. Just if you need just that little something, I'd love to stay in touch. But let's close our eyes. The Lord sees you. I'm looking around the room at your beautiful faces. There's not a one of you that's not a beauty in his eyes. You are Jesus' prom queen. You are his delight and you are the apple of his eye. And he knows the stuff that you has been through and he wants to start walking you out of stuff that you haven't yet let him go to. He woos you with his love, tenderly and sweetly. there is not anything your God would not do for you. But you've got to let him do it his way. Can we make a decision? We're going to live in his presence. I'm not going to let go of what I'm sensing of your spirit right now. Whatever I need to do to cultivate that, I want it. Jesus, just come. We thank you that you have come. And we adore you with all our hearts. And I pray just the richest of your blessings, your miracles. I speak physical healing. I speak joy in the darkness, hope, light, in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive you, Lord, and all your work in us. Amen. Amen.